Last week, we heard a story about mission success. Directed by a series of visions, Peter travels to meet a Gentile named Cornelius. In Cornelius's home, Peter encounters a large gathering of people who are primed and ready to listen to him. So Peter starts telling this gathering about Jesus. And before he's even finished his sermon and has made an altar call, the Holy Spirit falls on the entire gathering. Last week, we heard a story about mission success. It's quite the story. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if this sort of thing happened whenever we told others about Jesus? But not every attempt to share the gospel is a success story. I mean, just think of those invitations that some of you shared with friends and family before Easter. Were you all successful? Probably not. I mean, I invited a few friends and not one of them joined us. People had other plans, including staying in bed. Not every attempt to share the gospel is a success story. People say no to our simple invitations, and people reject our well-developed, well-thought-out mission plans. I heard about one church that saw a great opportunity. I mean, people were migrating to a particular suburb to escape the busyness and density of the city. And so they poured about $500,000 worth of salary and programs into a new church. They placed an ordained pastor into a local high school auditorium. They gathered members from other surrounding churches who were willing to leave their own churches to begin this new community. They sent mailers over successive weeks to the surrounding homes and prepared worship services that they believed would be attractive to people in this area. Well, the new worshiping community was launched and had moderate success in gathering people. However, as the activities of the church moved from the high school auditorium to the new facilities, and as they tried to formulate new programs, different notions about church began to pile up. The church quickly began to shrink, and the ordained pastor left in disappointment. Another pastor came to save the day, but it was already too late. Not a story of a successful mission. Of course, mission failure is nothing new for the church. I mean, just consider today's lessons, in particular, what happens to Paul and Barnabas in the city of Lystra. Now keep in mind, and I wanted to include that initial section from, I think it's chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were set apart. They were designated as missionaries. It was clear to the church and the Holy Spirit that the Lord had called them to this work. They were sent off with God's blessing. There's no doubt about that. And God's power was seen to be with them. I mean, when Paul and Barnabas entered Lystra, they encountered a man who couldn't walk. He had been crippled since the day of his birth. He heard Paul talking, and Paul, looking him in the eye and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said loud enough for everyone to hear, "Up on your feet." And in a flash, the man was. He was jumping and walking around as if he'd been walking his whole life. But then what happened? Well, the people who in the crowd who saw what Paul had done were amazed. And they raised their voices to heaven. Hallelujah! Praise Zeus! Praise Zeus! I mean, this was not what Paul and Barnabas were hoping to do in Lystra. I mean, start a pagan revival, right? It was sort of the exact opposite that they were hoping for. But maybe it was understandable. I mean, if we take Paul's other teaching as an example, he'd certainly been preaching that God had sent his son into the world and that the crowd had likely heard just enough to misinterpret Paul. Putting that message into their Greek context, they would surely think that he was saying the gods had come down among them as men. And so they identified Paul as Hermes, the messenger of the gods, since Paul was doing all the talking, and Paul's quiet colleague they assumed to be Zeus. And the priest of Zeus, well, He took no time to organize a parade. Bulls and banners and people lined right up to the gates, ready for ritual sacrifices. But this is not what Paul and Barnabas were set apart for, right? They didn't come to start a pagan revival. They were in the city to tell others the good news about Jesus, which meant they had a lot of explaining to do. And as soon as Paul and Barnabas explained the mistake, which is difficult to do when people have set in their minds to have a ritual and a party and a celebratory meal, with which is what those sort of pagan celebrations and sacrifices were all about, well, then they're going to be disappointed when you ask them to stop. Well, as soon as Paul and Barnabas have explained the mistake, the mood of the crowd changes. If these people aren't Zeus and Hermes, then who on earth are they? And then at that point, some Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who were mad about what Paul had been saying when he was in those cities, because it flew in the face of their traditions, just at the point that Paul and Barnabas had been explaining that the message flies in the face of pagan traditions, these other people come, and then it goes from bad to worse. We are told that they beat Paul unconscious, dragged him outside the town, and left him for dead. We have to deal with people turning down our invitations, right? I've heard people talk about that. You know, I gave out three of these and no one came. We have to deal with people turning down invitations. Well, Paul had to deal with people throwing stones at him. Our troubles in that sort of perspective seem small by comparison. Yet there is something discouraging and deflating about people ignoring our attempts to share Jesus. I mean, at least Paul was getting a reaction, right? At least Paul knew he was having an impact. He was getting some sort of response. We tend to be ignored in post-Christian Canada. But even if people turn down our invitations, I'm not sure we should decide it's not worth it and give up. I mean, if this story shows us anything, it tells us that mission failure is part and parcel of being a disciple of Jesus. I mean, there are times and places where people wholeheartedly embrace the gospel. Just think about Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius was ready, right? He made the invitation. He wanted to hear. And there are cities and seasons where people are not open. They're not ready. They don't have a framework even to understand what we have to share. Paul and Barnabas and Lystra, a place where the ground needs to be tilled before seeds can be sown. The fact that there is hard land in Lystra and maybe here in Kamloops shouldn't make us think that the gospel has no power, though. If you look at the broader context, you'll realize that Paul and Barnabas were successful in many other locations. And even in Lystra, even in the city that first tried to worship them and then stone them, their efforts eventually bore fruit. I mean, later in the book of Acts, we are told that Paul's protege, Timothy, was from where? Lystra. Timothy had been raised in the Christian faith by his mother and grandmother. Their faith was likely the fruit of Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey, that ill-fated trip to Lystra. But coming around the second time, Timothy is a believer. Timothy is ready to serve. And what happens to Timothy? Well, he's remembered as an evangelist and the first Christian bishop of Ephesus. He went on to accompany Paul on many dangerous journeys and acted as Paul's messenger on many difficult errands. Not all soil is incredibly fertile. But even in infertile soil, some plants will grow. There is a growing sense here at St. Andrew's that now is the time to take some steps of faith. steps of faith in the direction of mission, to start listening, looking where the Holy Spirit is at work in the neighborhood. When we sense that, we need to follow in obedience. But I think we need to keep both eyes open. I mean, we need to know from the outset that not every mission will be successful. There will be mission failure. I mean, were you following the whole series? I mean, the Raptors didn't win every game. Can you imagine if some of their teammates just decided to give up? Right? They could have. They were behind 10 points for most of the game. Right? Not every mission will be successful. There will be mission failure. But we need to also remember, we can't forget, that the gospel is a powerful message. I mean, it's worked transformation in our own lives, and it has that great potential for transformation in the world around us. And we also have the promise that it will reach the ends of the earth. I mean, if we look at the book of Acts, what the stories of the early apostles teach us is that the journey of the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth is unstoppable, even if it is uncomfortable. It's unstoppable. So may God give us the courage and perseverance to partner with the Holy Spirit in this important work. Amen.